So my name is Eugene. I serve with International Justice Mission, IJM Canada, as the BC Director of Development and Mobilization. So in this role, I have the privilege of serving our supporters and our church partners to raise awareness of the work, to share about the casework that we do, and to raise funds to fuel the mission. So I'm here with my wife tonight, Hannah, and we're grateful to be with you. And I thank God for the opportunity to serve your community. Yeah. Now, when Pastor Cindy reached out with the invitation to serve your church and to speak about our work at IJM, I was inspired and I was excited because how the church responds to injustice and poverty is something that I have a passion for. And just a bit about myself, I grew up here in Richmond, and at my home church, our pastors have taught us about biblical justice and responding to the needs of the poor and oppressed. And now it's something that I get to engage with more through our work at IJM. Now, before joining the staff of IJM Canada, as Pastor Cindy introduced, Hannah and I, we served overseas with IJM through the internship program. And we served for a year in one of our South Asia offices where we supported our field team in the fight against human trafficking. And at IJM, our mission is to protect vulnerable people from forms of violence worldwide. And our inspiration for this is Christ. Christ declared that he was bringing freedom to people who are oppressed. And we believe that in Christ, we are released from the oppression of sin, which includes freedom from physical forms of oppression. And we're passionate about partnering with the global church in this mission. Now, our founder at IJM, Gary Haugen, he's a human rights lawyer, and he started IJM after investigating the Rwandan genocide with the UN Center for Human Rights. Through this experience, Gary realized that when people were being attacked by someone with a machete, what they needed at that moment was not a doctor for medical attention or a microloan for economic development, but at that moment, they needed someone to restrain the hand of the person holding the machete. They needed someone to protect them from violence. So at IJM, this is what we do. We engage in the mission because we believe that bringing hope to people who are victims of violence can truly make a difference. So I'd like to present a video which highlights this and introduces our work at IJM.
Hope is powerful. It stirs us to look beyond what is and imagine what could be. Yet, for the problems in our world, hope alone does not guarantee change. It takes hope in action to do that. Right now, millions of children, women, and men experience some of the worst forms of violence every day. Violence that forces families into slavery, locks women in rooms to be used for sex, exploits children across the internet, and makes homes unsafe and abusive.
You'll be slapped, you'll be kicked, you don't have the power to fight back. If you do so, you know that the gravity will be more than what you were given before.
This continues because perpetrators think they can get away with it. Our hope will not stand for this. For over 25 years, International Justice Mission has been strengthening justice systems by partnering with local communities to investigate crimes, rescue victims, convict criminals, and support survivors through healing.
Sueño, las víctimas ya no estén buscando un sistema de justicia y estén sufriendo en esa búsqueda de justicia, sino que el sistema de justicia se acerca a ellos y las protege, y las resguarda, y las cuida desde las etapas tempranas.
We're a team of advocates, lawyers, counselors, government officials, survivors, and supporters who are building the future of protection, unified in the hope that one day soon, everyone will be safe and free.
We are transforming lives of individuals and communities. All the work we are doing through casework, justice system strengthening, survivor empowerment, the advocacy, lives have been transformed. The more people we reach, the more transformation we shall see.
This is a global movement of justice, prioritizing the protection of people from violence. Building a world where traffickers cannot enslave. Systems of justice serve every person in their communities, and hidden crimes of abuse and exploitation are brought to light, so that survivors can not only hope for safety and freedom, but expect it.
That judge immediately said he's proved guilty. I was scared before, but when he was taken in, I said, wow, I feel free. I felt I'd got that freedom, total freedom.
If millions of people come together and make the dignity of the individual the preeminent issue and protect their bodily well-being and their mental well-being so that they will not be exploited anymore, the entire world would be a safer place for everyone.
To those who are unified in the hope that one day soon, all people in the world could be free from violence. Together, let's courageously engage in the work of justice today and relentlessly move toward a safer tomorrow until all are free. Proving hope in action is the most powerful force in the world. And with it, justice is unstoppable.
So our mission at IJM is to protect people from violence. And as we saw in the video, this violence around the world can take many forms. For example, it could be slavery, like for forced labor or in sex trafficking. Or perhaps it's domestic violence or property crimes, like having your land stolen. Or maybe it's police abusing their power against vulnerable people who don't have others to protect them. And our mission then is to protect people from violence, and we believe that when you make justice systems around the world stronger, this is how you achieve that. So our team will go to the dark places to rescue victims of abuse. And we work with authorities to hold the people responsible for committing violence. And all around the world, we provide care for survivors to support their healing and their restoration. It's survivors like Aung. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Aung is from Myanmar. Now, in 2021, the country was experiencing a humanitarian crisis, and the COVID-19 pandemic was causing difficulties for the country's economy. And his parents did not have regular work. Now, Aung was only 16. Yeah. So Aung's sister and brother, they also worked, but even all together, the family was not earning enough to support themselves. So Aung decided to find a job to help his family. A broker, somebody who helps to find work, approached him and approached Aung and his friends, and he promised good paying work if they would follow and follow what he was being provided for. And Aung agreed to this. But it wasn't true. Aung was brought to a fishing boat, and he was forced to work. Now, fishing is an important part of Myanmar's economy, but workers who are in economic hardship, they can be taken advantage of. And Aung was forced to work long hours under poor conditions, and he didn't receive pay. And the work was unsafe. And the work was on a boat, so Aung was trapped out at sea. He couldn't escape. He couldn't ask for help from anyone. And his parents thought that he had gone missing. So this type of abuse that Aung experienced is an everyday threat for people in poverty around the world. And the problem is that when you don't have effective law enforcement in communities, criminals believe that they can get away with violence against vulnerable people because they don't think that there will be consequences for their actions. So they'll continue to abuse vulnerable people. And then you get this cycle of violence that continues. So when we see mistreatment of the poor, exploitation of vulnerable people like Aung. What is God's response to this? And what is our response? And that's what I want to look at today. We'll look at justice through the lens of Scripture and what it means to do justice as followers of Jesus. And I'll share about this, how we do this through our work and mission at IJM. So today I want to consider the call to justice, and we'll look at these three things. It's the root of justice, the markers of justice, and the result of justice. And the scripture passage that I'm speaking from is Psalm 9, 1-12, which we read earlier as God called us to worship through his scripture. Now, Psalm 9 that we read, this is a psalm of David, and it's a celebration of God's justice. As we read in the psalm, we see David praising God for success in defending Israel from enemies. The psalm came from a time when other rulers were looking to oppress Israel. And what we see in the psalm is David calling out for justice because he knows this is who God is. David declares that the Lord has established his throne for judgment and that he judges the world with righteousness because this is who he is. And when we consider how we can do justice and our motivation for this, we remember that justice is rooted in the character of God. It's who he is. Now, in the Old Testament, when psalmists and when the prophets spoke about God's justice and righteousness, they often wrote and talked about these things together. Now, the Hebrew word for justice is a word, mishpat. Now, the most basic meaning for this is to treat people fairly. So, for example, if someone was in a court case, they're on trial, every person should be either punished or they're acquitted depending on the case merits. It didn't matter what the person's race was or their economic status or their social status. Yeah. Now, but in the Bible, justice, it covers more than just punishing people for doing wrong. In the Bible, justice includes giving people their rights. It's giving people what they're due. In Deuteronomy, Israel is directed to support the priests of the tabernacle with a portion of the people's income. And this support was called the priests' mishpat because this was their due. It was their right. So when we do justice, we're giving people what they're due from God. For those who do wrong, it's punishment for their actions. For the victims of wrongdoing, they're due protection and care. What we see throughout scriptures, time and time again, is that justice describes taking up the cause of widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor. As the groups living on the margins of society, they were particularly vulnerable to oppression and injustice. So God gives instructions to his people that were intended to create a culture of justice, justice for the poor and the vulnerable, to demonstrate God's character to the world. So when we think about today, the groups of vulnerable can include refugees, migrant workers, people who are unhoused, elderly people. And we can see if justice is present in a society by how well it treats vulnerable people. And when we don't meet their needs, this isn't just to lack charity. It's violating justice because it's in God's character. His character as a father to the fatherless, the defender of widows, to take up their cause. And Psalm 9 reminds us that because of God's justice, the needy and the oppressed will not be forgotten. Now, I mentioned that in scriptures, God's justice and his righteousness are often spoken of together. Because there's another Hebrew word that can be translated as being just, and this word, tzedakah, although this word is also typically translated as being righteous. Now, maybe we often think about righteousness in an individual way, like in matters of being personally moral, or being fervent in prayer, or being committed to the word. Now, these are all very important and good things. But what we know is that in the Bible, being righteous is also a deeply social and a relational matter. A person is being righteous when their relationships are right. Bible scholar Alec Motyer, he puts it like this. He said that the righteous are the people who are right with God and therefore committed to putting right all other relationships in life. And then being righteous, it brings restoration when relationships are broken. So then when justice is done, like when wrongdoers are punished for their wrongdoing, or when victims of unfair treatment are cared for, it means that people are given what they're due. But if everyone was living in right relationship with everyone else, this type of justice to correct things actually wouldn't be necessary. So we can do righteousness by supporting right relationships. That's taking the time and the effort to meet the needs of those with disabilities, caring for the elderly, caring for the hungry, looking after people who are new to our community and our city. So we can see why justice and righteousness are tied together in this way. When we're in a right relationship with God, this will result in a life that has social consequences, because you'll also be committed to making right all other relationships as well. When we do this, we are reflecting God's character, because that's what justice is rooted in. So what does this look like? What do we see when biblical justice is practiced? So I'll share about three markers. We see equality, we see advocacy, and we see generosity. So equality. When justice is present, every person is treated with the same respect. And they deserve this. They deserve this because they bear God's image. Everyone, regardless of race, gender, religion, nationality, any social category. Everyone bears God's image and deserves to be treated with this dignity. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Do not deny justice or show partiality to anyone. Do not accept a bribe, for it blinds the eyes of the wise and the words of the righteous." Now, this seems pretty straightforward, but we know, we see that there is still much inequality in the world. We see people being mistreated because of their race. We see communities that don't have the same access to resources and services as others. Now, when we see inequality, let's remember what Jesus taught us in the parable of the Good Samaritan. In Jesus' time, the Samaritan people, they were seen as inferior, and the Jewish people didn't associate with them. But Jesus corrected this, placing Samaritans and the Jewish people on the same level. And as if to really make the point, it's the Samaritan who's the example of loving your neighbor by giving financial aid, providing practical help to someone of a different race and different religion. So doing justice means treating people of all races, faiths, classes as equal in dignity, because this is what's due to them from God. So the second marker I want to share about is advocacy. Another important marker of biblical justice. And it's this, it's a particular concern for people who are poor and vulnerable. In Psalm 41, David writes, he says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor." And this means to pay attention, close attention to them, providing practical assistance, as well as understanding the causes of a person's situation. And when we understand this, when we have this knowledge, the one who considers the poor will use their time, will use their resources, will use their energy to improve these circumstances. And they'll want to protect people who are poor from being taken advantage of. Now, the interesting thing about advocating for the poor is that it doesn't mean to be partial or to show prejudice, because the Bible tells us not to do this. We talked about equality and how everyone is to be treated with the same dignity. But we do see in the Bible that there are instructions to defend the rights of the poor and needy, while it doesn't say to speak up for those who are rich. Now, this doesn't mean that people who are rich are in any way less valued by God. But people who are rich, people who have power, they're not the ones who are typically vulnerable to exploitation, oppression, and injustice. But the poor are. And that is why advocacy is necessary for justice. So how can we do this? Well, one way is to provide relief to meet direct needs, like food and shelter and medical aid. And when we do this, the focus is on providing the person with resources that they require, especially during times of crisis. And we know right now, under economic conditions, we see the cost of food is rising. So when we address food security, this is one way to care directly for the needs of people who are poor and marginalized. Another way to advocate is to stop people and to stop institutions from mistreating the poor. Proverbs 22:22. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court. So this proverb tells us that people who are poor, they're vulnerable to exploitation simply because they're poor. Those with power, they can use institutions like the court to their advantage at the expense of those who don't have the power or the ability to defend themselves. If you've seen the movie Just Mercy, you've heard the story of American civil rights lawyer Bryan Stevenson, who works to help people who are poor, the condemned, people who are imprisoned, to challenge unfair sentences and wrong convictions. Mr. Stevenson's clients have included people who have been on death row who should not have been there, but they simply didn't have people available or willing to defend them. So he said this. He said that we have a system of justice that treats you much better if you're rich and guilty than if you're poor and innocent. So in his experience, he's seen how the system can be tilted against you if you're poor. And that's why he says that in order for there truly to be justice, people have to advocate and you have to stand up for the poor and the vulnerable. So we have equality, we've got advocacy, and the third marker that I want to share about is generosity. Generosity is a theme that we see throughout the Bible and an important aspect of justice. Often we think about practicing generosity by giving our resources, giving our time, and giving our energy. And maybe we think of these as being acts of mercy or acts of charity rather than being doing justice and righteousness. But let's start by remembering who our God is. Our God is the generous host who provides for us, his guests. God has created things of great value. God's the creator. That's who he is. And he's created humanity as his guests, who have the privilege of partnering with him to do good work in this world of abundance that he's made. That's who we are. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." God has entrusted humanity to steward everything that belongs to him. And it's in God's generosity that he supplies what we need, asking us to trust him and to live according to his principles and instructions. And God has intended for his people to practice generosity to bless others, especially those who are vulnerable and poor. Under the law in the Old Testament, God gave owners of land instructions for how they were to harvest. And these were called the laws of gleaning. And under these laws, landowners, they were prohibited from harvesting all the way up to the edges of their fields to maximize their own wealth. But rather, they were required to leave some of their crops in the field unharvested. And in Deuteronomy, it says that these crops, they shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. Groups of people who did not own the land and who were the most vulnerable. And the word here, when it says that these crops shall be for them, it referred to ownership. It was these groups in particular who had the rights to these crops. So this tells us, it shows us that practicing generosity is not merely and only a matter of charity, but it's practicing righteousness and justice. Those who are righteous do justice by practicing generosity out of love for God and out of love for their neighbor. Practicing generosity means living sacrificially, assured that God's kingdom is one of abundance. When we do this, we follow Jesus' example. We know in Jesus' life, we see him identifying with people who are poor, serving vulnerable people to share God's abundance with them. And I'm so encouraged to know of your church and to know of your campaign of reaching out and your dedication to practicing generosity. So I encourage you, continue to support your community's ministries and your partners to make the kingdom of Jesus more visible, more known here in Richmond and beyond. And I'm very honored to say thank you for partnering with IJM in this way. And we look forward to sharing updates on the impact of what this partnership will be. We're so grateful for how it is that your community models generosity. Because we know that it's in the ultimate demonstration of generosity. Jesus defeated evil through his death and through his resurrection. The generosity of Jesus reminds us that God has held nothing back from us and that he's provided what we need to flourish. Because when justice is done, there is indeed flourishing. That's the result of justice. There's restoration. There's celebration. And we see that in Psalm 9. As a result of the justice of God, David sings to the Lord. He proclaims his deeds. He praises God as the refuge for the persecuted and as the one who does not forget the cry of the oppressed. And that's what we've been able to see through our work and through our mission at IJM. For over 20 years, we have been on the front lines to work with authorities to hold criminals responsible and to support survivors through their healing and restoration, because this is justice. This is what is due to them. And that's what Ong experienced. I'll bring it back to his story. Now, Ong's mother was worried that her son had gone missing. So she contacted a local organization, an NGO, and then this organization reported the situation to the Anti-Trafficking Task Force. And when the authorities learned about this, they took action. And through their work, they were able to locate Ong. And when they knew this, they were able to have an operation to rescue him from the boat that he was trapped on. So after Ong was rescued, the local NGO, they contacted our IJM team in Myanmar. And it's our team that provided legal and care support for him. So IJM helped Ong's family to file a legal case against the recruiters. And so now his fight for justice continues through the court system. And IJM has been supporting his family in this case. Ong was brought to a shelter for counseling. And now he's back with his family, back in school with his friends. And what we've seen worldwide in IJM's work is that this is the type of impact and transformation that's possible when rescue happens and justice is done. And we celebrate this. And we know that it's not something that we do alone. So I invite you to join with IJM in pursuing justice in this way. I ask you to please pray for us. It's critical as it reminds us that the weight of the work that we do is God's and that we are to do it in Jesus' way. So if you'd like to receive our prayer requests, you can sign up to be a prayer partner on our website. It's ijm.ca/prayer. There's also a newsletter that you can sign up for to receive updates on our work. And I mentioned that I participated in an IJM internship. See, there are opportunities that you can use your education or your professional training to serve the mission. Yeah, online on our careers page, you can get more information, or I'd be happy to talk more about it with you. Or if you're a student, perhaps you'd be interested in starting an IJM school club or a university campus chapter to help raise awareness of the work of IJM and our mission. Yeah, and you can also join with us by practicing generosity through giving. When we serve others, seek their good, we model the generosity of God. So I encourage you, give to your church. Continue to support the impactful ministries of the community and your charitable partners. You can also become an IJM Freedom Partner. And this is a community of supporters who give monthly to ensure that IJM can sustain our work of justice worldwide. Yeah. And this link, ijm.ca/KEC, will help you to do that. Yeah. We know that generosity produces great impact. And it's with gratitude that I can share that since beginning in 1997, IJM has worked together with our partners to rescue more than 76,000 people from slavery and violence. And our mission, it goes beyond rescue, because we want to stop the violence and injustice from happening in the first place. And what we've seen is that through IJM's work, we have shown that when justice systems work as they should, they protect vulnerable people and violence drops significantly. We have seen slavery and violence reduced by up to 86% in regions all around the world. And this means that in every one of these communities, people are safer than they were before, as people are protected from the violence that they used to face. And this is a hopeful reminder, and it is proof that God hears the cry of the needy, and He does not forget them. And as God's people, we are called to be on mission together with Him. So let's do that faithfully. Let's reflect God's justice and His righteousness. Yeah. I invite you to rise. Let's pray, and please pray with me. God, you are a God of justice. You are the Father to the fatherless, the defender of widows. And we thank you that it is in your character to be just and to be righteous. And it is our prayer that we can reflect this. We look forward with great anticipation to when Jesus returns. But in the meantime, you have called your church, your people, to make your kingdom visible here on earth. So we pray that following the inspiration, the teaching, and the example of Jesus, that we can do that. Yeah. So we pray these things in His name. Amen.